That my experience has really been all along that when we're not connected to our bodies and we're not feeling ourselves, we end up making choices consciously or unconsciously that hurt other people. And I don't know that it's the only thing we need to be better humans, to take better care of each other, to not start wars, to not blow ourselves up, but I think it's one of the core things that we need is to be able and willing to actually feel ourselves, and in feeling ourselves, feel other people.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat two times over, indeed, y'all. That's right, indeed. Because today's wonderful guest has joined the business of immortality, known as authorship, by publishing a fabulous book. And not only that, she's got freaking awards, y'all, blue ribbons and gold medals for all of her work in the entrepreneurial space, y'all, because she's a leadership expert, executive coach, mystic, and the founder and CEO of wonderful, wonderful company, Guts and Grace Leaderships. So let's give it up for the luminous and marvelous, the one, the only, Leanne Mallory. How are you doing today, Leanne?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Dom.
My pleasure, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. I'm like, yeah, we got another wonderful pearl from a random oyster that was like thousands of miles away, deep in one of the oceans on Earth, to hop up and appear and share her wisdom with the masses and the molasses. She'll love to see it.
How did you know I was a mermaid? I mean, I actually do.
Oh, so that's what your freaking initials mean. Little Mermaid, not Leanne Mallory. All right. Not at all. That all makes sense. Okay. There we go. That's right, indeed. That's right. Except this one's better than Disney. You'll love to see it. Oh, man, but hey, probably didn't wake up with all the fabulosity and the mermaid swag. Indeed, you probably had a long journey to your current stage of freaking awesome. But so my feeling is in on how you became the wonderful lady that you are today.
Of course, yeah. It's interesting. I often will tell the story that I grew up in a steel mill town in western Pennsylvania. So I definitely didn't start out with all the awesomeness. And I really grew up in a town where most of what I do today was not on the menu as a possible career. Pretty much mostly working class, pretty much people just doing, you know, what you do in a small town. And there was always something in me that kind of felt like there was more, or there was like a desire for more. So that I can say. I also grew up doing a lot of movement, dance. I was a baton twirler. I did that for a very long time. A lot of different things that I did that were in my body, but I ended up not really focusing on that when I went to school. So left town, went to University of Michigan, studied psychology, was in the marching band, did some of those kind of things. And then I ended up getting really inspired by the magic that can happen when you get a diverse group of people together and you start asking questions about, like, who are you really and how did you get to be this person and, you know, what impact do you want to make in the world? So I found my way pretty early into kind of a leadership development space. I got to be a facilitator and teacher at the University of Michigan Program on Intergroup Relations, which was a dialogue program where upperclassmen would hold space for underclassmen, essentially, to be in dialogue across race, across gender, across sexuality, different identities. And I really enjoyed the experience of watching people light up when they would learn something either new about themselves or they would have an exchange with someone who was different, and it would open a door to either an insight or a new possibility or a new relationship or a new friend. And so I started to think, you know, if in some way I could do this for a living, if this kind of facilitation, if working with either leadership or communication in this way could be a job, then I would do that for a living. But again, I hadn't grown up in a place where that was really on the menu. So somehow, long story short, that led me to move to California and take a job that someone had sent me a reference for. And it was not, a high level job. It was kind of like a do this work around the office sort of job, but it was at a company that was doing transformational leadership work. And pretty quickly, they discovered that I was pretty good at like seeing through people. And so they let me become an executive coach when I was 25, 26. So at that time we were working like, we didn't have video. So everything was done by phone. People couldn't really see that I was only 25. And I start kind of coaching and training these people who are 50, 60 years old, running big companies. And I kind of got away with it because I was young, but I couldn't be seen. And I was like really good at understanding what made people tick. So fast forward all of that to today, from being in that line of work, developed my own methodology, specifically working with women and women leaders. And that's how Guts and Grace was born.
Good old G&G goodness. You'll love to see it. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. It's kind of funny hearing that because it's like, man, that's actually kind of an advantage when you think about it. It's like, hey, Zoom wasn't a thing in Skype. Good luck, shoot.
Yeah, wouldn't work today. I would say I couldn't have gotten away with it because I looked like I was 10 when I was 25. So really, I wasn't probably going to be given the time of day by some of the people that I got to work with really deeply. Because we were working not visually, because we were working by phone. So I'm really grateful for how technology happened to be at that point in time that actually really gave me an advantage as a young person doing some pretty high level work when I was skilled enough to do it, but probably too young to be doing it.
Yeah, far from too young, freaking. Got a lot of 20-something coaches these days. It's like, hey, some of them actually succeed and survive and help others to thrive. And yeah, you probably would have been all right either way if it was further down. It's very deep. Besides, you have that good old psychology background. That's probably one of the major tools that helps you to really get that edge.
That's true. And mostly I studied developmental psychology. So it took a little bit of translation, but I would say understanding how people evolve, grow, become who they are. I sometimes will joke like working with or like studying very young people is not that different than studying executives, but you know, that's not a very nice thing to say. But the truth is like really understanding how we become who we are tells you a lot about adult personality. And that became one of my superpowers was to be able to unpack how did I get to be the me that I am today? And therefore, what does that mean for my leadership and how I contribute in the world?
Yeah, I can, Deep. So it's the only folks who would get offended by that are folks who take themselves too darn seriously. Because, shoot, like adults are just basically growing up toddlers. Like, we just got responsibilities we have to actually remember. That's really all it is. Everybody's a big kid. Oh, man. So, my goodness, so getting that wonderful start in the good old executive coaching field and eventually striking out on your own. So what was it like making that transition?
Well, it wasn't the easiest transition, but I would say I knew a few years before I went out on my own that I was going to do that because my own story really took me to somatic practices, embodiment work. As I mentioned before we started this interview, got into a school that was practicing martial arts based leadership tools. I started to come back into relationship with dance and healing arts and other things. And so I kind of knew that the kind of work that I would be doing wasn't exactly what the company that I was working at was going to do. And so I started to build my own body of work and my own tools that I would sometimes use with my clients, especially female clients, being able to draw from somatic practices, from body-based leadership practices, even in some cases using movement or dance as kind of a secret sauce to the way that I was coaching, to the way I was training people, started to open some doors in my mind that there could be a new methodology that got born from the various practices that I had learned. And over time, that's what became Guts and Grace. So I was actually practicing those tools, teaching those tools about 3 years before I left the organization I was working for. And when it did come time to complete, it was terrifying. And I didn't really know, you know, how I was going to pay my bills or what was going to happen. But I had somebody give me a gift, which was someone gave me a ticket to an event that ended up being where I met one of my mentors. And it was kind of like, here's the free ticket to the event, but like you have to cover your own airfare and your own lodging and like all the various other expenses that like made it not really at all a free ticket. But I had the courage to take that step, and the rest was history because I met someone who was able to teach me, you know, how do you actually run your own business? How do you do this? And within a couple of years was, you know, able to do it on my own in a pretty good way.
I'm talking about indeed. Sweet. If I'm not mistaken, if I remember hearing correctly, some past conversations, you actually picked up Reiki too in all of your toolbox, right?
Not exactly Reiki. I do a number of different kinds of energy practices, but they're more woven. I do somatic body work. It's another form of kind of trauma release and healing work that is, it has energy work baked into it, but it's not specifically Reiki.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, I was about to say, sure, it ain't just the psychology too, where you get to see folks as the wonderful big toddlers that they are and seeing how they really take. It's like, oh, she's got tools too. It's like she's got big bat girl energy and a freaking tool belt. The world ain't ready. But hey, shoot. Being able to strike out on your own and basically figure it out and basically create your own parachute and have a great landing. You eventually decide to join the business of immortality with your wonderful book, Guts and Grace. So how was that journey? Because if I remember hearing right, it was a book that was supposed to be out, what, I guess 14 years ago at the time of this recording, but it was a 10-year hibernation process for it.
It was definitely a hibernation process. Well, it was a gestation process more than a hibernation process. So because I was already teaching the tools that I teach in the book, Guts and Grace, I really began the writing very early on, even before I started the business, actually. And then I had the inspiration to write the book, but as anyone who's ever tried to write a book or written a book knows, it's certainly an effort. It takes time, a lot of energy. It's a labor of love. And I probably got about 2/3 of the way through writing it. What year, but you know, 10 years ago, really, about that. And then it sat for a while. And I kind of went back to teaching and focusing on that and let it sit on the shelf for a little bit longer. And then at some point, an organization called Conscious Capitalism created a hybrid printing press where they did a call for new authors. And at that moment, I thought, okay, that's for me. I knew that I had something sitting on a shelf that was almost done, and I had now an idea of where I might be able to publish it. I didn't want to self-publish. I wanted to go through some kind of an organization. And so that kicked me into gear, and it kicked me into gear in 2019. And I had this big vision that I was going to do a big book tour and a book launch, and all these things would then happen. And my book came out end of January, almost the beginning of February 2020. And within like 3 or 4 weeks, the world shut down for the COVID pandemic. So it was not exactly how I imagined my journey as an author would begin, but it also, I think, was useful for those who did read it at that time and receive it, because a lot of us were in lockdown dealing with all kinds of different concerns. And as a lot of my work in Guts and Grace is about building a positive relationship with our bodies and leveraging that for how we lead, it was relevant to people at that time. But it took a while.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. It's what you learned about yourself through the whole process.
Oh my gosh. Many, many things. I would say one thing that I learned is that my intuition is good, because the first time I tried to write the book and let it sit, when I was coming back to it, now 9, 10 years later, I would go to edit something and I would have an idea about like a new sentence to add or a new paragraph to add. And then I would write it and then I would read what else was already written, and it would be almost the same words. I'm like, oh, okay, well, apparently this book has a mind of its own and it's already written itself that way. And I'm trying to rewrite it and it's writing the same thing again. So I think I learned that I'm intuitive, that I'm a good listener, and that mostly the process of, for me at least, writing or bringing something forward is as much about listening than coming up with something. And that's really very much aligned with what I teach people how to do in Guts and Grace, how to work with a body listening, with intuition, with instincts. So that for sure. And I think I also learned that I am tenacious and, you know, if something doesn't go the way that I imagine it at first brush, that I still keep showing up to play the game.
There you go. Showing up to play the game. Good old Triple H style. You'll love to see it. That's right indeed. I guess that goes with the whole guts part of the Guts and Grace. Like, hey, intuition. It's good stuff.
Well, the intuition is the grace side. The gut side is I kept sticking around and got it done.
Okay, cool. I guess I flipped it. That's right indeed. Because, yeah, that's definitely one of the best things to have is when you have your intuition and you actually trust it indeed. And heck, like it, and it's beautiful. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like the pandemic. That sucked for everybody. It's really bad that it happened. And good thing we were out of the majority of it. Although the aftermath has been, let's just say, interesting, is that, hey, you still got the book out and you're still able to share those wonderful lessons. And the good news is that you're still probably growing in the process. So, my goodness, any other books you feel like you might put out in the future now that you got that one out and you got more coaching experience under your belt?
I have thought about it. I'm not in a hurry, as it took me 10 years to the first one. I actually have another process that I teach right now called Activate, which is a three-step process of releasing, receiving, and realizing. And it's really, in a way, a, you know, kind of a body-oriented version of how to do innovation. And so at some point that may become a next book, we shall see. Or maybe there's like a memoir or something else that's just more about the personal journey in the background.
Talking about indeed, I'm talking about indeed. So my goodness, that sounded like 3 hours if I heard you correctly, right?
That's right. Release, receive, and realize.
Well, okay. Well, there we go. Release, receive, and realize indeed. That's right indeed. Giving folks that enlightenment. I knew I called you luminous for a reason. Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. Instead of the S on the chest, it's the L on the chest, y'all. That's right, indeed. Her cape is not in the cleaners, y'all. Hell, he is here, baby. Y'all love to see it. So, my goodness. So, with all this wonderful experience under your belt, I'm pretty sure you had some setbacks along the way. So, my goodness, is there a major setback that sticks out to you that actually became a setup for success for you?
Yeah, there have been a few. What I didn't say earlier is that when I left the company that I left, I was actually fired, which was a bit of a wake-up call, both in terms of that I was ready to go, that I actually wasn't fully aligned with where I was working at that point in time, and I kind of knew it for a while, so I got a little bit of a kicked out of the nest that then instigated the process of really creating the new business. But also there is a learning, I think, inside of that for me about the kind of directness that I can bring. And it really asked me to keep refining my ability to give feedback, to speak up, because I definitely have the kind of build where I can either be too direct or not direct enough. And so I worked on that for a long time. It's really, I think that was a moment of going, great, okay, I can see things, I can give really strong feedback. People don't always receive that well. There's a refinement to be able to do that in a way that people can receive, to be able to do that in a way that you stay in relationship. And that was definitely one of the learning pieces that happened through that process. Now I would say it's one of my superpowers to be able to give really clear, direct feedback, especially to clients or to people that I'm collaborating with. But at that moment in time, it was more of a liability than it was a strength. And so that was part of my journey.
Indeed. And that's superpower too, definitely, because hey, feedback, especially in this current age where some folks may not be okay with taking feedback, even no matter what you say, it's like, hey, that's a huge skill to have. And especially when you're direct with it, with the soft enough touches, where it's like, you know what? I think I need to improve here. You're right. I needed the good old wake-up call, if you will.
Exactly. And actually, one of the working titles of the book, Guts and Grace, was Wake-Up Call, for a similar kind of reason, that there, most of us have moments in our lives, whether it be that we have an accident or an illness or lose someone or have an experience of losing a job, or these kinds of things can really be like wake-up calls for us. But ultimately, that often will lead to a rewriting of where we're doing, you know, who we're being, where we're at, what we're doing, what we're focusing on, if we can show up for that challenge with openness, I would say with grace, this other word that I use, right, that we allow ourselves to be worked, to be moved by the challenge that we've been through, we can find some alchemy and find ourselves in a good place on the other side.
Oh, sad indeed. That's what I'm talking about. So my goodness, since you're going on interviews, promoting the magical work that you're doing, helping out folks to really get to their next level, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing these type of interviews?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I guess I wish that people would ask why it matters, like why it matters to be, again, what I do is embodied leadership, right? So why the body, why it matters so much at this moment in time. You know, Dom, my experience has really been all along that when we're not connected to our bodies and we're not feeling ourselves, we end up making choices consciously or unconsciously that hurt other people. And I don't know that it's the only thing we need to be better humans, to take better care of each other, to not start wars, to not blow ourselves up. But I think it's one of the core things that we need, is to be able and willing to actually feel ourselves, and in feeling ourselves, feel other people. I think we have a tendency to, because of all kinds of really good reasons, the traumas we've experienced, the ways we may have been, all the things, right? Betrayed, abandoned, let down, oppressed, all of the experiences that we have, that we have a really good reason to not feel. We have a really good reason to bounce out of ourselves or dissociate or numb or do all the things that we do. And I think that's why I like this question, right? Because if we have really good reasons not to, we would need a really good reason to choose to be connected to our bodies and to feel again. And I think at this moment in time, if you look at what's happening in the world, in any of our countries, certainly in mine, I think we're starting to really see in very strong ways more and more, not that it hasn't been true, but even more so right now, the cost of not feeling ourselves and each other. So my case for why bother, my case for why study work like Guts and Grace, for why learn to lead in an embodied way, is that we would like to maintain our survival as a species, if you will, and like be good to each other. And if we don't, I think we're in trouble. So that's my why.
Good deal indeed. That's the good old days of back rock coming into play, huh? That's part of that too, huh? That's right indeed. Shoot, that's even out of the, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first chapter in the book with the joy workouts too, right?
Well, and so, right? So working with joy, working with our capacity to feel and to feel our own aliveness as part of the doorway in. Then you go a little deeper down the rabbit hole, you might have to feel your rage, or you might get to feel how sad you are about something. So it's all kind of yeah. You might as well start with joy.
Oh yeah, definitely let joy be the default. Some folks, especially the extra happy folks, like, if you see the rage, run. If you feel it, run. That's right indeed. My goodness. Fun question for you. Your fabulous book, Guts and Grace, A Woman's Guide to Full-Bodied Leadership. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Wow. A brownie. Because there's a lot that you will learn, experience in working with this book, that is kind of like giving you a treat that you don't normally let yourself have. And the practices of Guts and Grace are actually designed almost like permission slips. Not that you need one, but maybe you haven't had someone give you one, or you haven't given yourself one. to enjoy things, to try on things, to experience things that might have been off the menu before, but actually are really delicious or really enjoyable.
That's what I'm talking about, D. Give yourself a treat, D. I was so not expecting brownie. All right, that's what I'm talking about.
I like chocolate, so that's me. Something else for someone else.
I know you're my kind of people. So I'm talking about indeed. That's right, indeed. So her book ain't just a brownie. It's one of those brownies. Might have a little Colorado special in there, too. Let me stop. Make it feel a little extra good. That's right, indeed. You might even have a whole wonderful... wonderful band of brownies in this wonderful book, y'all. That's right, indeed. You can't just have one, you gotta have them all. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. I'm talking about, indeed. Well, fun question for you. Well, I've already asked the fun one. Coming down to the magical question every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
Wow, I would tell myself to trust myself. It's been an interesting ride, and I would say in my own journey, there are a lot of things that I talked to myself out of when I was 25 that now that I'm almost twice that, I realized I was right in the first place. And so I think it's a moment in time when those who are 25 carry a lot of wisdom right now. And those of us who might be a little older than that and challenging you or questioning you or making you feel like you're not so right about something, keep your ground. I would say that to myself if I was 25.
Keep your ground. All right. I'm talking about indeed. That's right, D. Staying ground has a whole new meaning indeed now. I'm talking about. Because we subconsciously know, and sometimes consciously know, it's like it's just the whole doing part, and sometimes the staying still part after knowing. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. True. That's right, indeed. Heck, probably even pays off nowadays, indeed. That's right, indeed. Especially probably when you had to deal with that burnout, too, back then, too, I imagine.
Well, this is the thing, I think, you know. We know, our bodies know, our hearts know what's true for us. And if we can keep our ground in that way, then we can find our way out of most things.
Woohoo! That's right, indeed. So that means if you're trapped in a giant corn maze labyrinth, you can find your way out. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Even if the corn seems to be made out of cement, you still find a way out. You're probably like, where'd that analogy come from? Oh, man. But before a random kangaroo finds the way inside of the maze, folks need to turn their wonderful, wonderful minds and ears to your wonderful maze. It's not a maze of your wonderful contents. So for those who need to step into your wonderful world, cop multiple copies of your wonderful book and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so, Leanne?
Well, the book is available on Amazon. So if you're into that, you can get it easily there. And if you're not into that, you can go to gutsandgrace.com and find the book page on that site and order through us directly.
Woohoo! That's right, indeed, y'all. So check it out. That's right, indeed, especially for both parties, indeed. It may say full-bodied leadership for the women, but hey, the guys can learn stuff from this, too. I'm like, dude, just going through the darn table of contents, checking out Leanne's contents. Like, yeah, this stuff is good. It's applicable for everybody, dang gummit. That's right, indeed. Don't worry. You can have some of the pie, too. It's okay. It's okay. There's no random ruler held by none trying to block the pie from it. You can have a slice of the pie. Metaphorical.
Exactly. We also have an app, Dom, so maybe for your audience, if you're like wanting to get something at the tip of your fingertips, then we also have an app on app stores. Guts and Grace is the app as well.
Move over, Santa Claus. We got Leanne, she's got gifts, y'all. That's an app too. There we go. That's right, indeed. So that means someone probably has to Tattoo the word grace on their belly now. That's right indeed. Let them know it's because how good it is, y'all. She's got gifts, y'all. Makes you do tricks and deeds. That's freaking amazing, y'all. So check it out like a library book. Maybe check it out like 100 library books. It's good stuff indeed. Well, my goodness, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, I think that's it. I've discovered that I'm a mermaid. I've revealed some secrets, and I've invited people to come find the book. So I think we're complete.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in. And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.